Let's all stand. Let's all stand. All right. Here in just a moment, we're going to have some special prayer. So, in fact, I'm going to move the prayer until after the announcement, so you may be seated. Sorry for that. We just had a little minor communication issue there, so I got it. I think I'm straightened out. So, all right. Well, if you're a guest here at Calvary Gospel Church, we'd like to welcome you here today. We're so glad that you're here. Our pastor is out of town speaking at another church in Illinois, but he'll be back sometime this week. But his name is Pastor Roy, and so if you don't get to meet him today, you should come back another time and get to meet Pastor Roy. He's an awesome dude. If this is your first time, you should go to the kiosk in the back. There's a small little connection iPad there. We would like to get a few points of information so we can get back in contact with you. If you have a prayer request or want to learn more about the Bible, that's a great place to go as well. If you're visiting for the first time online, you can go to that bit.ly link that you see on your screen where it says /connect to CG. And that will also do the very same thing. Somebody on our pastoral staff will give you a call probably this week. And we're just thankful for you to be here. We do have some giving options we'd like to remind you about. There's 4 ways to give at Calvary Gospel Church. You can always give online at cgcmadison.org/giving. You can give in person by placing your offering in one of the boxes that are positioned by the doors at the entryways. You can always give by mail if you want to mail in a tithe or offering to 5301 Commercial Avenue. Our address can also be found on our website. Or you can give on the mobile giving app, which is called Church Center. If you're not part of Church Center, we'd like for you to download that app sometime soon and get connected with us. You can give at any time. I find it very convenient to give as soon as I get paid, no matter where I'm at. I just see the direct deposit. I see it going to my bank. I just turn right around, open up the app, and I pay my tithes and offerings there. And so those are the 4 ways to give here at Calvary Gospel Church. Now, we have some announcements. Next Sunday, December 17th, our children's ministry presents Arrest These Merry Gentlemen. So service starts right at 10 a.m. Say it with me, 10 a.m. Say it one more time, 10 a.m. Don't come at 11 because you will already be too late. It'll probably be mostly over. So 10 a.m., okay? And so just trying to give you a heads up. No classes that morning, okay? So this is a great opportunity to invite someone. So grab an invitation card or two on your way out the door. If you directly behind these center doors, there's a little sign and there's some invitation cards there. We'd like to make sure that we get all of those handed out before next weekend. Amen. So take a big stack and hand them out at work. Maybe you have some community stuff you do and get those out. So here's our Calvary Gospel holiday schedule. Sunday, December 17th and the 24th, okay? There are no classes, and we're going to be starting right at 10 a.m. So a little different schedule. So if you're not, sometimes some of our people, they come at 11, and some of us are here for the 2 services in the morning. But on those 2 days, you need to be here at 10 a.m., and we'll probably be dismissing a little earlier than normal because of that change schedule. Wednesday, December 27th, there is going to be no midweek service, and so keep that in mind. After Christmas, no midweek service. What's that? Okay. Sunday, December 31st, will be a regular service schedule, and so we'll go back to our normal service schedule on December 31st. And so, other than that, I'd like for Sister Brown. Sorry. I'd like for Sister Brown to come. She has a special prayer thing that we need to do. And would you, Sister Brown, would you just lead us in prayer up to worship as well? Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Brittany had brought a request to me this week, and she has a friend who she's known since school, and they have a little boy. Her name is Lindy. Her husband is Alex. They have a little boy named Eli. He's 7 months old. He's at St. Jude's Hospital in Chicago, and he has leukemia. They've been doing treatments on him. They have not been working so far. They're going to be trying something new, and they're supposed to be putting a feeding tube in this little boy. As a mother, as a grandmother, as a great-grandmother, I cannot imagine. What we went through with Jameson was hard, but to go through these with our children is very difficult. But this morning, we're going to pray for this little boy, because I know a God, you know a God, who still heals, who knows who little Eli is. And though we cannot be with him, our prayers can. And I ask that not just after today, but every day, to keep praying for this little boy and this family. We're going to anoint this blanket with oil. We're going to give this to our pastors here. There's nothing in the blanket. There's nothing in the prayer cloth. But in our prayers is what God is hearing. But the reason for anointing and sending this is because sometimes when we're in the midst of a valley, we need something to remind us that people are praying for us and that prayers and petitions have gone up before God. In Matthew, we see where the woman touched the hem of his garment and she was healed. Jesus. And when Paul was anointed and he prayed and he sought the Lord, and there was such an anointing that people started to cut parts of his clothing and send him out into the communities, that people would be healed, not because of Paul, but because of the God that Paul served. And today, if you would stand with us as we begin to pray, and all of our ministers and elders and those that have that faith in their heart would come up and to pray for this little boy. Oh, God, Lord, we plead your blood right now over Eli. God, you knew before he was born that, Lord, he would have a life here on this earth. And I pray, God, that you would go into that hospital room right now, that the presence of God would just hover over this family. I pray, God, that the anointing would go forth, that, Lord, you would heal this little boy. God, that you would cause these blood cells to correct themselves and to function as you created them to function, that in the very marrow of his bone, they would reproduce healthy blood cells, that his body would respond to your commands as you created his body to function. Jesus, we pray for Lindy. We lift up Alex. We pray, God, that you would be with this couple, that your peace, that you would give them the wisdom to make difficult decisions, and that, God, as we continue to lift him up by faith, God, you'd go before them. We thank you, God. We thank you, Lord, that you have orchestrated all things. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
We're going to go into our worship service now. If you would like to worship down here at the front or be seated, you can do anything you want, do however you feel, but let's all just worship the Lord in song for the next few minutes. Amen.
Let every Come to Bethlehem. worship you, God. You are great. You are great, Lord, and you are greatly to be praised this morning, God. We worship you. We praise you, Jesus. We praise your name.
How great!
Amen. Praise God. Let's worship him just a little longer. In Jesus' name, we worship you, God. You are wonderful. You are the mighty God. You are the Prince of Peace. You are the first and the last. You are the everlasting Father. You are our Savior. You are our Father. We praise you, Jesus. We love you, God. We thank you, God. Amen, amen. I'm so glad to be in a house of God where we can feel the presence of God. Amen. Please, if you have a Bible or some way of getting to a Bible, a device, turn to John 4. I'm going to read a passage that may be familiar to most of us. John 4, 21 to 24. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth."
Help me pray in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for the word of God that's here in your Holy Spirit. We know, God, that you care about us enough, oh God, to speak to us through your word and through your presence. So even this morning, Lord, speak to each of our hearts and minds. Draw us near to you. Help us to understand what the Spirit says to not only the church, but to each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said amen. You may be seated. Everybody smiles when I say that. Amen. We want to welcome Word of Life Church. Glad that you're with us. Sorry about your circumstances, but we're happy to share the house of God. Amen. We know the story about Jesus and the woman at the well, or most of us do. Jesus went out of his way to come to this village by a path that most often people didn't take. I think it was Pastor Peter spoke about this recently. The lady that Jesus is talking to, the woman at the well, she was there to get water in the middle of the day. And evidently, she was the only one there in the middle of the day for a number of reasons. But Jesus knew that. I believe he understood what was about to happen. I believe he picked that time and that place so he could talk to that person about her needs. Praise God. I'm glad that Jesus loves me enough to know what I need. The Bible says he knows what we need before we pray. Jesus asked her for a drink. He's at the well. Could you get me a drink? She said, you don't have anything to get water with. Why are you here at the well? And why are you asking me, a Samaritan woman, to get you water? Well, that became clear in time that Jesus did all of this for a reason. He knew where this woman was in her life. He knew the circumstances that had ensued. This meeting was not a coincidence. This meeting was no accident. The fact that you're here this morning, or that you're with us online, or that you're hearing this message sometime even in the future, it's no accident. God has a plan for you. There's no coincidence in the kingdom of God. He knows the end from the beginning. Our encounters with God are not accidental. What you felt here in this worship service was no accident. It wasn't coincidental that you felt something maybe that you never felt before. Because Jesus wanted to meet with you here today. Praise God. Maybe you decided to come to church or join us online because it's the holidays and, well, it's a good time to go to church. Maybe you expected just another Sunday morning when you came today. And before we're done, you may realize that the Holy Spirit brought you here to speak to you specifically in a way that you never expected. Maybe you just came to get a little drink of Jesus at the well, just enough to get through the day, maybe just enough to quench your thirst for a little while. Maybe you came to church because you're going to get enough church to get you by. But guess what? Jesus is here. And he's seeking someone who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Praise God. In Luke 19, we have the story of a man named Zacchaeus. Luke 19:3 says he was trying to get a look at Jesus, but being a short man, he could not see over the crowd. No short jokes, please. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into the sycamore tree to see him, because Jesus was going to pass that way. Another story we're most of us familiar with. From Sunday school on up, we heard about Zacchaeus, the wee little man. But something struck me about this story. You see, this was a man who was not really accepted in his culture. They didn't like him because he represented the Roman government. He was in league with their oppressors. And probably not considered to be a religious man. It's always interesting when someone who's not religious comes to church. I got a little dust up on one of the apps with a person about Christmas. This has nothing to do with our message, but I just have to share this. It was the whole thing about people putting Santas on their lawn and stuff like that, and one lady had the nerve. She had the nerve to say, "And there's not one baby Jesus in the whole neighborhood." One guy said, "Let's celebrate the holidays and leave religion out of it." I couldn't help it. I said, "Christmas," and the word Christ was in quotation marks. Christmas, the celebration of the birthday of Jesus. It's not religion. It's the celebration of a historical person that impacted the whole world. Christmas. Praise God. I'm tired of hearing about religion. That's probably why Zacchaeus had the issues he had. He didn't quite accept religion as a means of finding God. So he turned away. We don't know all the reasons, but he was obviously not on the inside track as far as his religious world was concerned, but he was just trying to get a look at Jesus. Never thought of that phrase before, just trying to get a look at Jesus. Oh, I wish that everyone in this world would just try to get a look at Jesus. See who the real Jesus is. Maybe we can help someone this holiday season, this Christmas season, to get a look at. He just wanted to get a look at Jesus. Doesn't say he wanted an audience. Doesn't say he was a disciple or even thinking about being a disciple. Doesn't say whether he believed or not. He just wanted to get a look at Jesus. Sometimes we come to church and we just want to make sure we get the right seat, you know. I don't want that tall person sitting in front of me. I don't want that person who jumps around sitting next to me. We just want to get the right seat. We want to make sure we can see the preacher, or maybe we want to make sure we can't see the preacher, or the musicians, and this is more likely, we want to sit in my spot. Or I want to sit with a certain friend or with a group. We're not really expecting anything life-changing. We just want to be in the most comfortable seat. We want to get a look at Jesus. Just going to church. Be home in time for dinner. And go about our week. Luke 19:5 says, "When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house.'" I want Jesus to stay at my house. I don't want to just get a look at him. I want him to dwell with me. He made haste and came down and received him joyfully. You see, Jesus told the lady at the well that the Father is seeking those, looking for hungry hearts. He's seeking this morning for those that will worship him in spirit and in truth. Zacchaeus didn't know that, but Jesus was looking for him. He didn't know this was going to happen. Maybe you're just here to get a look at Jesus this morning. Maybe you're the first time in a Pentecostal church and it's all a little something interesting to watch. But Jesus is looking for someone here this morning. The woman at the well didn't say she was going to meet the Messiah. She was just going to get water. But Jesus knew who they were. He knew where they were. He knew what their lives were like. He knew what they needed. He sought them out. He's seeking you and me this morning. He's looking for those of us who are willing to worship him in spirit and in truth. He knows who we are. He knows your name. He knows where you are in your life. He knows what's going on. He knows what you've been through this week. He knows what you need today. He sees you there at the well, just trying to get a drink at church. He sees you up there in the branches, tangled up in life, just trying to get a glimpse of him. He's seeking you. He's calling down, calling us down from that perch in the branches, calling us closer this morning. He's saying, I've got living water for you, which springs up into eternal life, more than just a day's worth, more than just a week's worth, but an eternity. He's looking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Praise God. There was a time when Jesus was going to Jerusalem for the Passover. He sent some of his disciples to a nearby village with instructions to acquire the colt of a donkey. And imagine this, they found it just where he said it would be. He told them what to say to the person who was going to ask them about it. He told them why they were taking it. And Mark 11, verse 7 says this, "Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it." Verse 8, "And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.'" What a beautiful scene. What a glorious moment. We call this the triumphal entry. The multitudes were glorifying Jesus Christ, praising him openly, probably more than ever before. Worshiping. Now, we don't know how many were just caught up with the crowd. I can't tell who's actually really worshiping from the outside looking in. Only God knows that. We don't know how many really believed he was Messiah. We don't know. But we know that Jesus was seeking those who would worship him in spirit and in truth. He was revealing himself so that he could draw all men unto him. He wanted to go to their spiritual house. He wanted to meet them where they were. He's here today. He wants to come to your house. I want to take a few minutes and consider the worship that's described in this scene. It's described in three of the Gospels. Each one describes it just a little bit differently, which, as we often find in the Gospels, we get a little different perspective from one to the other. They're telling a different part of the same story. Each one accurately, but not each one telling everything. Mark uses a term when he's talking about what they were doing with the branches, the trees, the branches from the trees. It's talking about things that were matted together or woven, twisted together to make kind of a mat structure. And they were laying those things down before Jesus, before the donkey as he entered into the city. A bed of straw, sometimes this word describes, or rushes or leaves. Whatever it was, whatever they could get their hands on, evidently in the field or from the trees, and weaving it together and laying it down because it was a way to honor the one who is coming. The prophet said that we should prepare the way of the Lord. And this is fulfillment of that prophecy. You see, there has to be a path. We have to make a path for Jesus to come to us. Zacchaeus wanted to get a good look at Jesus. He was opening the door. He may not even have realized it. Just coming to church on Sunday morning, you're making a path for Jesus to come to meet with you. There has to be a path in our heart. You know, Jesus, he will not force his way into anyone's life or anyone's heart. He will come humbly, like one on a lowly donkey's foal. But he's seeking hungry hearts. Are you hungry today? Do you need something from God? Do you want more of Jesus Christ? Do you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Are you ready to turn your life over to him? Are you hungry for God? He's seeking the one who wants to get a better look at who he is. He's seeking the one whose life is confused. He's not sure where they fit in. Not sure that all is well. We need a way for him to come to our house. He's looking for the one who has it all, but still feels empty, still wants more. We need to open the doors of our hearts, our house, our life to him. We need to weave some things together and prepare a way for Jesus. Now, Matthew says it this way in chapter 21, and a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Different word for branches, different, slightly different description. It says, another way to say this, one writer said, is they cut off branches as they came. So they're going down the road, and they know they're staying a little bit ahead of Jesus, and they're just lopping the branches off of the trees along the way. I don't know what kind of trees they were. But whatever they can get their hands on, they're cutting it off and throwing it down. They probably weren't expecting something like this. Maybe they just came upon this parade. Maybe they didn't have the skills to mat things together. I know I wouldn't have been able to do that. It just seems maybe they're a little more impromptu. They were doing what they could. You see, we Pentecostals, we know how to worship. We have a plan for worship every time we come together. It's real quiet in here all of a sudden. We know how to worship. We have great music. I love the worship. Except when I have to preach, I wish it would only go about 2 minutes and I don't want to get up and preach. But otherwise, I love worship. We lift our hands. Some people, that freaks people out. We dance. We shout. Hey, when's the last time you shouted in church? When's the last time you danced? When's the last time you just got out of your pew and moved around a little bit while you were worshiping? That's what Pentecostals do. Now, we do a few things that I can't prove to you that it's Bible. I can justify it by the Bible, but I can't prove to you that they did it in the Bible. But that's okay, because it's worship. We're worship experts. I mean, we can grade other people's worship. We're so good. We know the right moves. We know the right times to make those moves. But if you're here today and you're watching online, you don't have to do everything like everyone else around here. You don't have to worship just the same way the person next to you or the person in front of you or the person. You don't have to do it exactly the same way. I tell this story all the time. It's one of my favorite. I remember the fourth or fifth time I came to church, I thought, I'm going to try this. And I looked at the people in front of me to see just how far apart they held their fingers when they raised up their hand. I wanted to get it right. Expert at worship. But I don't see Jesus rejecting anybody's worship when he enters the city. He knew some of these people would turn their backs on him in a week. He knew some of these people weren't sincere, that they were just there for the show. God's looking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Let's just not have another Sunday morning. Let's worship with all our heart. He wants us to, you know, if this is all new to you, just worship as much as you know. Worship how you know how. But if you draw close to God in whatever way you know how, he will draw from you real worship in your spirit. He wants to fill you with his spirit. Worship with all your heart in the knowledge and the experience that you have. We all have more to learn. And some of us have a lot to unlearn. We need to worship with our whole heart in sincerity and in humility, but in truth. John adds one other dimension in his description. John 12, verses 12 and 13. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming, they came because they heard Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. They took branches of palm trees. They had an idea by the time they got there what they wanted to do. They took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." John defines the tree, the palm tree. He said that these people knew ahead of time. They had a plan, and they went to the palm tree. This is a different word again, different kinds of description of the branches. It was common for people to honor a victor or a king with palm branches. They were making a specific statement about who Jesus was. He's the king. We need to treat him like the king. They knew who he was. We have the benefit, most of us in this house today, of knowing who Jesus is. The branches of the palms occurs only here in this one instance, this word in the New Testament. It means the branches that were at the top of the palm tree, where the fruit was. So it took some, took some effort to get there. You might even say that they gave him their highest praise because they were honoring him as the king. This brings me to the title, Beyond the Browse Line. If you've ever watched deer in a film or in person, and when they are feeding, they often start at the ground level and they end up looking up to tree level, and depending on where they are, depending on what kind of food is available, they work their way up, and as food on the ground becomes scarce, they're more likely to eat higher up. But when there's an overpopulation in a particular area, the deer will work their way up the tree trunk and just clean off the tree up to a certain level because they can't reach any higher. They can get on their hind legs and stand up, but they reach a certain level. And in some places where there's gross overpopulation, it's like someone went through and just trimmed the trees. And you look all the way through the woods because there's a browse line. See, I kind of liken this to what was happening on this day of Jesus' entry. A lot of people were doing what everyone else was doing. They were all operating at the lower level of worship, if I can use that term, and they would only go as high as the brows line. But there were some who went so far as to go up into the tops of the palms. They were prepared. They knew who Jesus was. They wanted to honor him the best way they knew how. They were worshiping above the brows line. I want to come into church. I want to go to my prayer closet. I want to worship God knowing who he is and honoring him for what he's done. Apparently some of these people just grabbed whatever was at hand and put it down in front of Jesus, branches, vegetation, whatever, makeshift mats, twisting and weaving various things together. They put them on the ground to prepare the way, and that's a good thing. We need to do that. But that's the first level. That's called repentance. When we take the things of our confused life and we lay them down before Jesus and we surrender it to him. I need you, Jesus. This is the way into my heart. The people with the palm branches recognized Jesus as king. See, when we have a king, our life belongs to him. That's a concept we in America, we don't really get, because America is based on not having a king. That was what this country came into existence, so that we would not have a king. But Jesus wants us to be part of the kingdom of God. And in a kingdom, every person in that kingdom is a subject of the king. That means we are subject to the king. We're subject to his word. We're subject to his will. We're subject to his call. His will supersedes our will. That's how a king works. These people were worshiping and saying, he is our king. We are surrendering our will to him. His purpose directs our purpose. I need to have that kind of attitude towards Jesus Christ. There's one act of worship in this scene that I haven't addressed yet. I'll go back. Mark 11:8 says, many spread their clothes on the road. Matthew says, and a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. They threw their coats down before him. The old symbol of a gentleman used to be the man who would lay his coat down before a lady as she walked across the puddle, right? You've all seen the cartoon where the lady steps on the coat and the puddle's like 4 feet deep. And she... Hopefully there are no potholes in the road. They cast their coats down. And the phrases that are used here, and many, and a very great multitude, they indicate it says basically most of them threw their coats down. Most of them. This stands out in my mind a little bit. This carpet here, it's relatively clean. Not a big deal. I can pick my coat up, brush it off, it'll be all right, and clean it later if I need to. But I don't think the road that Jesus was on looked quite like this carpet. It's probably pretty dusty, pretty dirty. And they were throwing, and not only were they throwing their coats down on the dirty, dusty road, there had probably been more than one animal across that road in the past several days. And a lot of people. And now a donkey's going to walk over it. along with the crowd that's following. There's not much hope for those colts that are there on the road. This carpet's relatively clean, by the way, because I think Sister Lois Grant still vacuums this. I think she's the one that does it, just so you know that she comes in here and vacuums every week. So if you want to honor someone, you can honor Sister Lois for that. I throw my coat down on the floor, I pick it up, I brush it off. But I remember when I had one winter coat for a long, long, big part of my life. Every year I had one winter coat. And if last winter's coat wasn't good enough, I had to find another one. And for me to throw my coat on the road in front of a donkey, that would be a cold winter for me. Now, I'm sure a lot of these people didn't have a lot of coats, because history tells us that these were a lot of peasant lifestyle there. A lot of people, there's probably some wealthy people. There were probably some people who were well off, but the population as a whole was not wealthy. Over the years, I've accumulated more coats. As a matter of fact, a couple of the coats that I still have were the coats that I had when I only had one I could wear. And if I have a job that I want to do and I know I'm going to get real dirty or it's going to get stained or I'm going to get paint on it, that's the coat I will wear. But I don't think these folks were planning, I don't think they came to this parade, if I can use that term, in their paint jacket. I think that when they realized what was going on, they decided that they were going to either honor Jesus as Lord and King, or they were just going to do what everyone else was doing, but it cost them something to throw their coat down. This was something of value to them. This is an act of worship when we're giving God something of value. When it costs us something. It was a sacrifice. In 1 Chronicles 21, David was offered property and animals and all of the necessities in order to make an offering to God when he was bringing the Ark of the Covenant back. And David said this in 1 Chronicles 21:24. He said to Ornan, "No, but I will surely buy it for the full price, for I will not take what is yours for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings with that which cost me nothing." Jesus is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and truth. It will cost us something. He wants to be our king. We have to give him more than just our coats. More than just what we can get our hands on in the road. More than even the highest praise that we can imagine, or the most precious thing we own. Jesus is calling us to give him our lives, to give him our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. Let's stand. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to wait on God just for a second. The Holy Ghost is here. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. He calls on us to give him our lives, our heart, soul, mind, and strength. After all, he gave his life for you and me. He was perfect. He was sinless. He was blameless. Yet he gave his life at the hands of cruel men on a cruel cross to save our souls, to give us life more abundant. The woman at the well, John 4:25 said, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Praise God. Is there something in your life that you want to surrender? Something, an obstacle perhaps in your relationship with God? Maybe you just came to get a look at Jesus. Praise God. But he wants to reveal himself to you, who he is. He's seeking someone to worship him in spirit and in truth. If you want to get closer to Jesus Christ, if you want to start your walk with God, if you want to surrender something that's in the way in your relationship with God that's preventing you from a holy life, then please step out from where you are. Come and pray. Come and find Jesus beyond the browse line. Do more than what you're used to. Do more than what everyone else is doing. Surrender your heart to the King. Surrender your heart to God. Give him your life. In Jesus' name, let's pray.
Come in.
baptized. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, that's one way you make a path for him to come into your life, by surrendering yourself in repentance and in taking on his name in water baptism. It's a decision we make. We open the door to the Holy Ghost. He moves in and changes our life forever. It's a new birth. It's your opportunity today to surrender all of your life to Jesus, in Jesus' name. Thank you for being here this morning. Praise God. Continue to pray for one another. Remember to pray for Pastor and Sister Lois as they return from Illinois. Keep our holiday schedule in mind. Next week is our 10 a.m. service, and it is our Christmas program. Arrest these merry gentlemen. You'll want to be here for that. God bless you in Jesus' name.